Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. You know, one of the things we have said over the years now, for over 12 years, is that all of us, no matter who we are, where we live, all of us have a story. All of us have something in our lives that others can benefit from. Our next guest definitely knows that firsthand. Deborah Clark is making her first appearance on our program today to talk to us not only about her journey in life, whether it's dealing with family, dealing with professional abilities, but also relationships and what it's been like for her to bring all of that together in her new book, Everyone Has a Story. We're going to talk to Deborah not only about why she decided to write the book, but what she hopes you're able to take away from it. Now, if you're just hearing about the book, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. But Deborah, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. It's so good to be here with you, Cyrus. And with all,
hey,
I just want to say hello to your listeners.
Well, look, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it. You know, Deborah, I think the great thing about your book, and I kind of alluded to it just now, is that it is something I think that all of us can be able to read and to relate to in many ways, because all of us, even though people may look at their lives and say, you know what, I don't have anything of interest or I don't have anything of value, your book is a perfect example that all of us, no matter who we are, have something that other people can benefit from. What has that been like for you, Deborah, to be able to realize how your own personal story has been able to be a source of inspiration for other people?
Well, I just think just by living life, you know, life has so many challenges and different things that you experience along the way. And if we, you know, everybody's so busy today, so they don't stop and evaluate and take the time to listen to, you know, some people call it the universe, I call it the Holy Spirit, you know. You know, he's been leading me and guiding me in this, you know, on this path, and I'm just excited about where he's taking me with it.
Right. And I think that's the thing. I think, you know, to be guided is so important, because it reminds us, for one thing, and it does for me, that we're not going through this thing called life by ourselves. You know, that we have our Creator there to be able to be a source of inspiration and guidance for us. Do you think that's one of the reasons why you did not give up in life? Because throughout your book, Everyone Has a Story, there are different situations that come up, whether it's dealing with something professionally or dealing with relationships, we're going to get into that, that other people would have folded. Do you think it's because of that faith and that guidance that you didn't?
I certainly believe that it was my faith that kept me going. I was always instilled, you know, to go to church, and we were raised in a church, and then I had people along the way that kept guiding me. Like, I had an aunt in California that I lived with, and she was a member at CCC. That's Apostle Price's church out in California, and I was a teenager, and I wanted to run around and party and have some fun, you know, but I thank God for people along the way that kept you on your path, even when you got off, to get you back on, and especially when you have a purpose. I believe everyone has a purpose, and because I follow, you know, my Lord and Savior all the time, I got back on that path, and he just kept guiding me, so I attribute all of that to just that faith.
Yeah. And I think that faith is so important, and also a great reminder for us. Now, of course, as we know from reading your book, it doesn't mean that you always made the best of decisions, but none of us do.
Absolutely.
But I mean, but you know, I mean, as you reflect on the experience, I mean, the why of this, I mentioned this to you before we went on here, the why of this is so important. Why did you decide that you not only wanted to write down your story, but then to be able to share it so the world could read it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a salon I purchased back in 97, and I had so many women in there that heard about my story prior to this, and I never wanted to address it because I had moved it on with my life. I had gotten married, I had children, and I was living in a small community, but and everyone kind of knew my story with Jim Brown because we were, you know, plastered across the media in 1980s, I believe it was like 86, and we just had a media frenzy, and I made my way back to Pittsburgh slowly, and then when I got here, it was still on the lips of people. So I just ignored it, but when I was doing hair and, you know, and all of the salon talk, you know how people chatter inside hair salons, and they were all chattering about me. So whenever I had quiet time or downtime with one-on-ones with my different customers, these things and issues would come up. They would share with me about either they were going through a domestic violence situation or their sister or their mom or their best friend or someone at work. So they used that time to talk with me about it, but I never gave my story away. And then later on, I kept saying, you know, once my children got older and then I got a divorce, so I didn't have to, you know, worry about what he thought of the book. You know, I could share my story. It was just the timing was right. My children were both in college, and I was by myself, and I was just reflecting and trying to figure out what's going to be the next half of my life. And out came this wonderful, wonderful story, and it was a cleansing and a purging of everything. And then also I wanted it to be encouraging for other women to know that you're not by yourself in this thing. You know, this is, you know, part of a lot of women's journey, and men
right.
as well.
Exactly, exactly. You know, okay, so let's talk about that. Well, let me first say, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Deborah Clark is our guest for this segment. We're talking with her not only about her new book, Everyone Has a Story, but also what it's been like for her to reflect on her own story and now to be able to share it with the world. Now, you mentioned Jim Brown, of course, and that is a part of the story. Do you hope that, and we're going to get into that, but do you hope that people realize, though, Deborah, because I know for me, I did. In fact, when I wrote my review on Amazon.com, I didn't even, you know, mention him by name. But do you hope that people know that you are more than that, that you are more than that relationship and more than what happened to you during that time with him?
Yes, everybody is. It's just about self-discovery, you know.
Yeah.
Like I always, my history was my great-great-grandfather being the founder of Alabama A&M University, and my great-grandfather was the first president there, you know, and a lot of people didn't know these things about me because my mother always told us that, you know, to rely on our own things and that we can build our own lives through our own story. So we weren't really allowed to kind of fall back on that at all. So I was just navigating my way through, you know, my own life, and everyone has multiple layers to them, and that was just part of my story. So I figured if I went back and started from my childhood, well, actually I started from the explosion part and then started from my childhood and how I came to be. And to track your journey, it was helping me track and see all the different entities to Deborah Clark. You know, you're a wife, you're a mother, now you're an ex-wife, you know, your friend, your daughter. There's so many different facets to all of us, you know, with life. And it's just discovering, really.
Yeah. You know, I think there are so many, as I said, there's so many layers to your story. I mean, I mentioned family, of course. You discuss your relationship with your mother, especially the way that she reacted when you dropped out of school. And then, of course, you know, and even... You know, and then, of course, you know, the way that you realize even in dealing with individuals, the individuals like Mark and you know, and with your older brother and why she did some of the things. Was it also healing in that respect as well, Deborah, for you to kind of look back now that you're a mother, now that, you know, you think about what a parent has to deal with? Was that also part of the reflection you went through?
Oh, absolutely. It helped me to understand my mom. She was so angry with me about putting one part in the book, and I won't highlight the one part that she didn't feel like it was her proudest moment. And I'm like, Mommy, you raised us, you gave us such a beautiful life, you know, you don't get to share every single detail of your life. You got to pick highlights and lowlights to place in a book. And, you know, there's no way, you know, I'm 51 years old that you can, you know, put all that into one book or you would never stop writing, because each day brings a new journey and a new experience. So it helped me to understand her, you know, being married early, raising kids early, and then wanting to have her time. You know, like right now, this is my time, and I feel like I've, you know, navigated my way into my time, and it's different type of way than she did, you know, and because she didn't get a her time to explore early, you know, so she was kind of having her little teenage moment, should I say, you know, when she came to California. And I don't blame her. I actually, you know, I told her, I said, I hand that to you. You deserve it. You've earned it. She's earned her stripes like every other woman.
Yeah. I think that is the thing. Now let's get into the relationships, because I have talked about in this program over the 12 years I've done it, Deborah, talked to individuals who have not only been abused, but also we've had individuals who had been abusers in the past on the program. And then we know, of course, a lot of it is power. A lot of it is about control. And then, of course, when the question comes up, especially from the person who is being abused as to why you stayed or after that first time, why didn't you? There are always the reasons why. In your situation, as you discuss, and everyone has a story, you had heard about him before you got into this relationship. I mean, there were the warnings there already. What do you want women to know about that? Because he was nice, and especially after, I'll just say, the hospital incident. We won't go into that. People will read the book, and he was nice to you, so how did you, when you're talking to women now, I don't really mean about, where you were then, but when you talk to women now, what do you want them to know about, it doesn't matter how nice an individual is, if their warning signs are there, the importance of heeding those warning signs?
Well, the importance of can be life or death. I lost two friends from that, and both were very young. There are warning signs sometimes, but my mother always said, where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, a lot of times, you know, with all the social media, you hear so many rumors. You know, people have heard so many about me. You know, I've heard it over probably, I don't know how many times I've heard the one of, I got tossed off the balcony. Well, someone did, and I did see her later on a documentary that was on Showtime, and it wasn't me. And so, you know, it's kind of difficult to determine which are rumors and which is true, you know, and that's part of the reason why I came out with my book, because, you know, I live with so many rumors, you know, for the past 30 years about our relationship. But, you know, each individual case is different, you know, but, you know, when you have that gut knowing that something's not right or something is, most abusers are not going to show the ugly right away. You know, they're like any other relationship, but when you take your time with relationships, most women don't, you know, especially today, because they seem to be so, what's the term, thirsty, where they want something right away. That wasn't the case for me, because, you know, I had dated other celebrities and other men in my life. I didn't seem to have a problem with attracting men. It was just the, you know, the right ones. And the warning sign for me was that he was trying to lock me in fast, you know. So when someone's rushing something along, generally to me, that's a telltale sign, you know, where they're trying to lock you in quickly.
Yeah. I think that is it. You know, there is the situation after, and we don't have to get too much into this, Deborah, and you can talk about this as much as you want to or as little as you want to, but you do chronicle in the book the first time with the slap, and you talk about in the book about, you know, your brothers wanting you to come home, and this is what. This is what you wrote. I was screaming at Jim and threatened to leave. My brother wanted me to and begged me to go back home with him. I wasn't ready to leave Jim or California yet. I don't know why I couldn't see the signs. I blame the drinking and all of these different personalities, anything but the truth of it. Jim was controlling, and I wasn't ready to throw in the towel. What was it like for you to come to that realization and to write it and to think about what that meant?
Well, the realization was like the discovering, you know, I was going through a divorce, I was up late at night, and I wanted to discover my patterns and see if there were patterns in my life and it, why things, you know, have to end on a sour note. I don't believe all things have to end on a sour note, but, you know, in relationships you have two people, So you can only do your best. You know, you can only give your best. You don't always know what a person is thinking and why they react the way they do or do damage to a relationship. For him, I don't know if it was so much controlling. I think, you know, sometimes that, looking back, I think he was insecure. A lot of times, you know, he had father issues. I didn't have father issues. I had two dads in my life, and they were both great fathers, my stepdad and my father. You know, I have fond memories of both of them, and he didn't. But not to say that all people that don't have, you know, parents or a good parent in their life, because he certainly had a good mom, but I don't want to fault all people, because when you become an adult, you put away your childhood things, and I like to own my things, whatever it is. That's why, you know, I put this out, and I wanted women to, you know, stop blaming people, you know, because you have a choice in the matter. You can stay or you can leave, you know, and
right.
Chances are if you leave, you'll find out that you'll have a new life and a new journey, and not to, I think people are too afraid of future things, you know, the not knowing, the unsure things about their future. And you got to create one or you'll never have one.
Yeah. I think that is so true. Again, everyone, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking with Deborah Clark. She's the author of the book, Everyone Has a Story, and we actually are sharing a part of her story here on our program. You definitely want to pick up this book. We'll remind you at the end of the segment how you can get it for yourself. So, Deborah, you know, we talked about relationships. We talked about family. I want to talk about professionally, because you were able to accomplish some great things professionally as well. However, you also share in the book, you know, about how you realized at times you were messing up opportunities, you know, going to work late, staying out partying. So you realized things, you know, what was that like for you to realize, though, how your hard work could pay off, you know, if you were willing to do what was necessary? Because you were able to accomplish a lot professionally on your own. What was it like for you to be able to share that message with women?
Well, here's the thing. I know God works everything together for our good, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you have to have failure to appreciate success. You have to own the things that you created to where you might have blown your opportunity, so you'll value the next one that you get. You'll really cherish it. I could say when I was doing those things, I was at an age, you know, where I don't mind messing up. You know, like right now, it makes things more difficult because you don't, you know, even if you live to see 80, you know, that I have a lot more years behind me than I do ahead of me. So I think those are the times that they call it, what is it, the midlife crisis or whatever, where people are reflecting and reviewing their lives up to this point and see where they're headed. And that's when you have to just really rediscover yourself and find out, if you do, that, you know, patterns keep coming up because most people have them, and until you break those things, you know, you won't see yourself succeed.
Yeah. How easy was it to forgive? Forgive yourself and also to forgive Jim?
I forgave him right away because I was still in love with him. I listened to interview Rihanna had with Oprah, and she said she was talking about her incident with Chris Brown, and I thought that was an exceptional answer. And she said, you know, 5 minutes before he hit me, I was in love. So 5 minutes after that happened, where do you put the love? You know, it's still there, but that's when you have to decide between love and your future. You have to really make a decision about that and use wisdom with that. You know, a lot of people just think, well, it's going to be a one-time thing, and they wind up going back. You know, when I went back, you know, I almost died. That's part of my story. You know, I believe I was fortunate enough because God had another plan for my life. And possibly, you know, not possibly, I believe this is it, you know, a purpose, you know, not to just share my story, but, you know, you know, bring light to Nicole Brown Simpson. I had no idea that my book was going to be released the same time as the People versus O.J. Simpson miniseries. I mean, how coincidental is that? It's not. I believe that was a divine connection, you know.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. And I think that the thing is, it is a reminder for all of us, Deborah, that there's no one face to survival. There's no one face to abuse. And that as even though everyone's situation is different, there is still that connection, as you were just talking about. And I think that is one of the great things that you've been able to share. So now, out of all the other things you've been able to do, now you're a published author. How does that feel to now have author, you know, before your name?
It's a gift from God. It feels amazing. I did a book signing out at Barnes & Noble's in Monroeville, and it's a little area near my home. And to see a big poster in the window, you know, Pittsburgh New Writers Night, and I hadn't even been, my book hadn't even been released on Amazon, you know, maybe 3 weeks before all this occurred, and it's just, you know, I looked at how God was accelerating this, you know, along with the miniseries, along with other talk shows and television shows. And it's just been an amazing, amazing thing just watching him. I remember a scripture that God kept giving me along the way, and I kept saying, why is this not happening now? And I've written this book. I've done what you asked me to do. And he kept saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he will add all things unto me. And this is the all. This is part of the all, being able to speak out on behalf, giving other women a voice, giving them encouragement. It's been amazing, the inboxes that I've been receiving from women and, you know, telling me, I too was abused and you're encouraging me, or I'm in the middle of it, I'm getting out. You've inspired me to get out. It's that's better than a paycheck. It really is.
Yeah. What a great thing. And I think, you know, there are so many people out there, Deborah, who need to know, for one thing, that what has happened to them doesn't have to define them. I think that is a big thing for everybody. But also to know that every experience, as you said, every experience is a part of our life lessons, a part of our journey, and a part of making us better if we're able to learn from it and to use it. And I think that's the great thing about what you've been able to do, is to be able to learn and then, of course, to be able to share. And I think that, again, keeps it going for sure. Again, everyone, Deborah Clark has been our guest. Great conversation with you, Deborah, as I knew it would be. Everyone Has a Story is the title of Deborah's new book. It is available through our friends at Amazon.com. And, Deborah, is there other ways for our audience to be able to stay connected with you?
Oh, yes, you can stay connected with me. I've been posting everything on my Facebook page, and I've been making more connections on Facebook. It's been amazing. It really is.
Mm-hmm. So make sure you all stay connected with Deborah through Facebook. We actually have tagged her on our page, and I'll be reminding you that here in a moment how you can stay connected with her there. Deborah, really appreciate your coming on the show and being able to share with us, as well as, of course, being able to let other people know what's possible for them. Really appreciate the time with you.
This is over?
This is, yeah. I can't see. I told
this
you it happened so fast.
25 minutes, my goodness, it seems like we've been chatting maybe five. But I appreciate you, Cyrus, so much. You said it was going to pass. It really has.
Yeah, look, time passes fast when you're having fun, right? I mean, it goes by so fast.
Yes, thank
it,
you
it
so
really
much.
Does. Well, look, but you know what? That's another reason for you to come back, though. You're more than welcome to come back and join us again.
I certainly will. Anytime, Cyrus. I appreciate it. It was so nice meeting you.
Oh, same here. Looking forward to staying connected with you. And we thank your audience for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. For our radio audience, you all stay where you are. There is more Conversations Live to come for you. I'll be speaking to siblings Jonathan Corcoran as well as Jennifer Corcoran about their new film, She Sings to the Stars. That's coming up for you guys at the bottom of the hour for those joining us on the radio side of our show. For those joining us online, though, we are going to lose you. So if you came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Deborah, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay. replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media friends. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Click on the link there. You can listen to the show completely for free and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.